dive into the book of Joshua. So if you have your Bibles with you, please stand. We're going to go to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. And we're going to go from verse 1 all the way to verse 10. And then we're going to skip a couple of verses and go down to verse 16. So watch out for that. Here at Plus Life, we love to stand for the reverence and reading of God's Word. And thank you for joining us in that. Let's jump into it. Joshua chapter 1, starting at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you may go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And Joshua commanded the officers of the people. Let's jump down to verse 16. And they answered Joshua, all that you have commanded us we will do, and wherever you send us we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commandment and disobeys your words, whatever you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word, Lord God. We thank you for the new horizons that you bring us all into, God. We thank you that our growth process is always forward from glory to glory, oh God, and that you never desire us to go back to old habits, to go back to old ways, Lord God. Your desire for us is to continually grow into the image of your Son, to reflect your Son. And so, Father, I pray that you would open up our hearts tonight as you speak to us from your word, from the life of Joshua. I pray, Father God, that you use me as your instrument of peace. In Jesus' most mighty name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. The title of my sermon is called Fight or Flight. Fight or Flight. This past week, I had the opportunity, along with Faye and Francis, to take a little time off and go down to the Niagara Falls region. And one of the things we did there, aside from the sightseeing and whatnot, is go to the House of Frankenstein. Anyone been into that? If you don't know what it is, it's this sort of this maze that you go through, and people pop out and things pop out and try to scare you. Of course, you know, being the brave man that I am, you know, I took the charge. I took the lead, right? And, you know, I'm pretty sure it was supposed to be scary, but I wasn't scared at all, right? But the girls were screaming their heads off, and I got in trouble at the end because apparently I was walking too fast, but really I was, you know, holding Faye's hand the entire time. But that's a side story. It's interesting because that whole experience was more of like a fight or flight experience for me, right? Because I got shoved to the front, right? And so I had to choose whether or not I would be scared with the girls and go through the entire maze, you know, inch by inch, and we'd never get through the maze. Or I had to man up, in a sense, and find my bravery and find my courage and actually go through this maze and pretend like I'm not scared and get through the other side. Right? It's this fight or flight experience. Of course, you know, I chose the latter rather than the first, and that's why we're here today. I'm deaf a little in one ear because of all their screaming, but nonetheless, we are here tonight, and this fight or flight response, as studied by scientists and zoologists, is this physiological reaction that animals have when they come face to face with a perceived danger or a threat to their survival. The response triggers chemicals in their brains that either produce this physical ability to fight, to defend themselves, or take flight, fleeing from the perceived danger. That's the fight or flight mechanism in animals. And as much as that is true for animals who are driven by instinct, the same response can be observed in us humans who unlike animals, have a choice of whether or not we take flight, or we stand and fight. God created humanity differently from animals in that we have a capacity to choose to fight throughout our natural inclinations to flee. But oftentimes we require a substantial motivation to fight and not succumb to our inclination to flee. And as we'll learn tonight, that motivation to fight cannot come from the inside, it must come from the outside, because there's nothing in us that will make us stay. It must come from the outside. I bring this up again because as we face new horizons in our lives, as we face change in our lives, it can be a scary thing. The reason why people often dislike change is because of the fear associated with the fear of unknown, and the fear that is associated with new horizons and unknown territory. It's will I still have a job in the new year? What will happen to me if I go down this road or I make this decision? Will I be able to succeed in this circumstance? Or more commonly, the what ifs that are associated with new horizons. What if I fail? What if I don't live up to the expectations? What if I don't meet the requirements? What if I'm not strong enough? What if I'm not good enough? All of these things come from the fear of the unknown and the fear that comes with new horizons. It's these fears that cause us to hesitate when change is there. And changes on the horizon. Fear is what sparks insecurities. Fear can skew our perspective. Fear can get us to doubt what we know. Fear is what can ultimately stop us from moving forward into the new horizons God has for us. If you remember the story of the 12 spies, the first time the Israelites ended up in the promised land, they could have already started living there, but because of the bad report and because of the fear that overcame the Israelites, they ended up going back into the wilderness. And when I say fear, please note that fear does not always manifest itself explicitly in our lives. Fear, it can express itself implicitly. It can come out through aggression when you are constantly exploding to the people around you. Even over these minute things, you're very sensitive about it, and that could be driven fear could be driving that. It could come out in some sort of repression where you're denying things or you're bottling things in. Or as I mentioned last week, fear can result in regression where you go back to old habits, where you go back to old mentalities, you go back to old ways. Just how the Israelites wanted to go back to Egypt. They associated that place of captivity with a place of comfort because they were afraid. All of these things can result from a mishandling of change that comes and the fear associated with it. So this sermon and our passage tonight deals with this fear. And how do we deal with it? Although our passage does not explicitly state that Joshua was afraid or that he was fearful, we can deduce from several lines that fear was in fact involved in this chapter of Joshua's life. God tells Joshua to be strong and courageous a total of 3 times, implying that a need for Joshua to be strong and courageous. And in God's final call to Joshua, he says, "Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed." An implication that perhaps Joshua was a little bit fearful of what was to come. But we can also deduce Joshua's sentiments by taking into consideration his circumstances and what he was being called to do. Imagine if you were him for a second. The greatest leader of Israel, Moses, had just died. Moses who parted the Red Sea, Moses who called down manna from heaven, Moses who, you know, brought quail, brought water from the rock. Moses, this great leader of Israel, has just died, and now leadership falls on you. Joshua, the son of Nun. He's not saying that he had no parents, but his Nun as an N-U-N. Not that he was the son of a nun, but he was anyways. So Joshua, the son of Nun. You are replacing the guy who parted, who did all these amazing things. How do you live up to those expectations? You're replacing the guy who was given the law, who established the rules and culture of your people, and now you're tasked to lead 2.5 million Israelites into the promised land. 2.5 million, that's almost the size of Toronto. A land that the last time you went into, with the 12 spies, you saw giants. A land the last time you went into, you saw cities and fortified cities and great armies and great civilizations in a land filled with nations probably greater in number than you. Probably prepared in warfare, more prepared in warfare than you. And you're tasked to conquer it. Imagine if you were Joshua. Imagine if you were in that position. Everyone say, that's a big job. 2.5 million people that you have to lead into the promised land. Again, roughly the size of Toronto. I can't even handle my fiance. How much more 2.5 million people? Daunting tasks often produce overwhelming terrors. You can be sure that Joshua had to deal with insecurities. Am I good enough for this? Am I the right man for this? I'm sure there were legitimate fears. There are giants in the land. I saw them. There are giants. There are big nations in there with fortified cities. I saw them with my own eyes, and I'm supposed to conquer it. There's no doubt that he had to struggle with the what ifs. What if I fail? What if I fail as a leader? What if we end up going back into the wilderness for another 40 years? All of these things. Joshua was no doubt human, so these terrors would have been so real to him, just as real as some of these terrors are to us. Maybe some of you here tonight are facing these terrors as you enter into new horizons, as you are in this season of change. Maybe it's the fear of the unknown, of what is coming in the new year. Maybe it's the fear of failure, that you've been given a great responsibility and you're afraid that you're going to mess it up. Or maybe you've messed this up in the past and now you have a second chance and you don't know if you'll mess it up again just as you did in the past, or you'll actually succeed this time around. Maybe the task ahead of you is daunting, so intimidating. Even realistically speaking, the numbers don't add up. And these are actual giants ahead of you that you don't know how you're going to defeat, how you're going to overcome. Or maybe it's an irrational fear that you have, that you are dealing with as you enter into new horizons. Irrational in the sense that your fears are not based on any facts or reason. It's just the what ifs. It's based on speculation and conjecture. And you're facing these irrational fears. It's like, you know, what if next year I get hired as a construction worker and one day I'm working and the high beam falls, but I dodge it and I fall into some barbed wire and my face gets all scratched up and I'll never get married then. All these what ifs. Speculation, all of these fears, as real as they are to us, given the seasons of change that we are going through, was just as real for Joshua as he was faced with this daunting task to lead the people into the promised land. Joshua had a choice, just as we have a choice as we face these new horizons. Do we fight or do we take flight? And here's the thing, if we take flight, if we run away, if we escape into the past or to the comfort zones or to the old habits, we will miss out on the season of promise, the season of growth that God has prepared for us. And what ends up happening is we go back into the wilderness, put through more refining, put through more preparation, put through a process once again. God is faithful in that process that he'll give us another chance. That's the end story if you run. The God is faithful that even if you run, He will make a way so that even in your wilderness time, He will prepare you and process you and will give you another chance, for sure. I've seen that in my own life. Back in 2009, I was given the opportunity to lead the youth ministry at my parents' church. And I did that for about 2 years, but then church politics and drama came in. And at one night, I was standing outside the building that we were hosting youth night in, and it was pouring rain, and it was dark, and I was standing out there, and I was just fed up with everything, and I said, you know, God, I'm done. I'm done. And I ran to my car in the pouring rain, it was so dramatic, right, and I drove home. Fast forward a couple of years later, after some refinement and after some processing, God gives me the second chance. He gives me another ministry in Scarborough to lead another youth ministry. And that was fruitful. And all of that to say that even if you run, this is the assurance that God is faithful. Even if you have run already, God is faithful to give you a second chance. Remember, for Joshua, this was the second chance at the promised land. But the reality was, this was actually Israel's third chance in the promised land. If you remember, Abraham had originally settled in the land of Canaan. And then when famine struck, Jacob took the entire tribe down to Egypt. And that's where they went into captivity. That's where they came into slavery. So this was the third chance, not the second chance, for Israel. Why? Because God is faithful. My point is this. Our hope as believers is that God in His faithfulness uses our failures to move us forward. He's faithful to give us a second chance, a third chance even. See, this wasn't the Israelites' second chance, as I said. This was their third. But listen, God's intention for us is not to take flight, but to stand and fight. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of the faith, take hold of eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. 1 Corinthians 9:26-27 says, so I do not run aimlessly, I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. There's an aim, there's a goal. James 1:12 said, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love Him. Again, God's intention for us is not to take flight, but to stay and fight. We are called to fight, called to be conquerors, called to be overcomers. But that only happens when we stay and fight. Because it's when we stay and fight that we learn how to persevere. That in our perseverance, His strength is manifested in our weaknesses. That's where we can see His faithfulness to overcome the new challenges that He brings. That's where more growth and newer growth takes place as we stay and fight. As He brings us new opportunities, new challenges, and the new horizons, new ways of revealing Himself to us. That's a process of growth that He wants us to stay and stick through. God's call for us to stay in the fight, not to take flight. But the question now arises, how do we fight then? How do we fight? When fear is so overwhelming, the circumstances so daunting, how do we fight and not flee? How do we fight the fears that come with the new horizons? Let me give you three ways of how to fight, how Joshua fought fear and insecurities in our first chapter of the book of Joshua. Three ways that we can fight the fears that come with the new horizons. Listen to this. Number one, fight with faith. Fight with faith. See, our natural inclination is to fight with bravery, with courage. Like I said in the beginning, you know, when we went to that maze, it's to muster up some courage and fight through whatever fears may come, whatever challenges may come. But our own strength and our own courage can only get us so far, especially against odds that are greater than ourselves. This is why we need to fight with faith. Faith in a God who is greater than our circumstances. For believers, the opposite of fear is not courage, it's faith. Because it's our lack of faith in God that allows fear to creep in and take hold of our hearts. Psalm 73, verse 26 says this: "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God in the strength is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." The Hebrew word there for heart relates to one's inner self, one's courage and willpower. So the psalmist is saying, even if my own strength, even if my courage fails, God is still my strength. God is still the strength of my heart, my portion forever. Listen, fear fuels our desire to flee, but faith fuels our desire to fight. Because then we know, wait, I'm not just fighting on my own. I'm fighting with this God who is greater than my circumstances. This brings us to God's command to Joshua to be strong and courageous. So here's the thing. Oftentimes when pastors preach this passage, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. But pastors often preach it like this. God is commanding you to be strong and courageous, so be strong and courageous. It gives a sentiment about, you know, muster up your own strength, muster up your courage, and do the thing that God has commanded you to do. Be strong and courageous. But this command from God to be strong and courageous was never dependent on Joshua's ability to be strong and courageous. This command from God was always dependent on God himself. In fact, the proper and closer translation of this command is more like be strengthened and encouraged. Because the way that the Hebrew word, the way that these words are written in the Hebrew, they're conjunctional. They're dependent on what follows. For example, in verse 6 when it says, be strong and courageous, what follows that is, for, that's the conjunctional word, you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers and to give them. It's not that Joshua was strong or courageous, but rather that he was to be strengthened and encouraged because of the reality that he was going to conquer the land because God had said so. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from the right to the hand to the or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. The conjunctional word there is only. It's bridging over the command to what follows. Joshua's strength and encouragement comes from knowing that if he sticks to God's word, then he will have good success. It's not dependent on his strength. It's not dependent on his courage. It's dependent on him following God's word. In verse 9 it says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Finally, Joshua's ability to be strengthened and encouraged is dependent on the fact that it was God himself commanding him to go. Never dependent on him. Listen, our capacity for courage is measured by our confidence in God. Our confidence in God. Our faith in him. It's when we lack faith, again, that's when we start doubting him. When we doubt his word, when we doubt his plans for us, when we doubt his heart for us, that's when fear comes in. That's when we're overcome by fear. But again, fear is fought with faith. Our strength and our courage, again, is not dependent on us. Never dependent on us, but solely dependent on God. Here's a tip. Listen, if you are wondering if you will ever make it through the changes and new horizons, look back to see God's faithfulness. Through the changes that you've already come from. I mean, we just sang a song about it, right? And I will look back and see that you are faithful. I look ahead believing that you are able. Remember the illustration I gave last week of, I'm not going to borrow you from Mark because his leg is, Benji, can I borrow you for a second? And Joel, can I borrow you? And then Darnell, can I borrow you real quick? Actually, just stay right there, that's good. So Benji, if you wanted to stand right here, and Joel, just come up here. So if you remember the illustration that I gave last week, just maybe right here, that's fine. That's good. Right? This is where we are right now. Right? At the border of the new horizons, of the border of change. You want to face this way? This is where change is. This is where we want to be. Right? You know, nice sweater and everything. Popped up collar. This is where we want to be. Right? But the frustration and the struggle that we often have is in between here. Because we're not that yet. And then you're beating yourself up here and saying, God, I'm not there yet. I want to be there. This is where I want to be. But I'm not there yet. And there's a struggle there. And over here too, in between here, is the fear. That's where the fear grows. Because, Lord, will I ever get there? What if I never get there? What if all these challenges in between, these giants in between, stop me from getting there? That's where the struggle and the fear comes from. But here's a tip. When you're looking for faith, look back. Look back. Because where Darnell is, that's where you once were. That's who you were before. But God delivered you from who you were before and brought you to here. And that gap between you and who you're going to be is much smaller than between you and what you were. That's faith. You look back there and you see God's faithfulness here. You see God's faithfulness, how he made you overcome this challenge here, where he broke away that sin over here, where he healed your mom from that sickness. All of these things, that's faith. You look back and you're encouraged. You can't help it, but Lord, I trust in you that just like you've gotten through this massive life, you're going to get me through here. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. Look back. We'll talk more about looking back next week. That was a little spoiler. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." Again, being strong and courageous is not dependent on you. It's dependent solely on God. But here's another way that we can build our faith. Paul says in Romans 10:17, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." So here's my second point. Here's another way that we can fight. Fight with footing. Fight with footing. As you know, I'm Filipino. And so being Filipino, I like a lot of Filipino things. I like rice and karaoke and, of course, Manny Pacquiao. Right? So Manny Pacquiao is... We can have a whole conversation after this, but if you don't know who Manny Pacquiao is, you better know who Manny Pacquiao is. He's a boxing legend, right? I've watched all his fights, even the fights that he lost, even the fight that he got knocked out by Marquez, all of these things, right? But what makes Manny Pacquiao such a great fighter, I mean, for sure there's a lot of things, but what makes him such a good fighter is his footing. If you watch all his fights from the past, his calf muscles are always bigger than his opponents. And that's so important in boxing, because in boxing you think that, you know, it's about the power of your punch. No, it's the power of your legs. So that if you get hit, you're able to endure. You're able to keep balance. That's how you stop yourself from being knocked over. If you watch the fight where he fought Marquez and he got knocked out, it's because he fell forward and not backwards. Right? Anyways, that's a whole other story. We're going to talk about it after. But nonetheless, it's about footing. When it comes to boxing, it's all about footing, because footing determines your balance. Footing determines your speed. Footing determines how you maneuver around your opponent. What does God tell Joshua? Joshua, in Joshua chapter 1, verse 7 to 8, it says, "Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you may go." See, what God is describing here is that his word, that he's already prescribed through the law of Moses, is a pathway into the promised land. And if Joshua stuck to it, if Joshua followed the path, the route that God gave to Moses, if he didn't turn to the left or to the right of it, then you will have good success. Psalm 119, verse 105 says this, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." God's word is a lamp to see where we are and a light to see where we're going. Fight with footing. God's word is our footing. How does God's word become our footing? Again, in Romans 10:17, it says, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." The word hearing here is akoe, meaning not just listening, but receiving unto faith. It's hearing something and standing on it, believing, putting your trust in what you hear. So the question is, are you hearing the word of God, or are you merely
listening to it? Because anyone can listen to the word of God. It can go in one ear and out the other. Life change can never happen, but it's the one who hears it, takes it into himself, believes it, receives it unto faith. That's the person that is changed. That's the person who has sure footing. I say this because oftentimes we listen to God's word, but we don't hear it. Oftentimes we know what God's word says, but we don't receive it or we don't believe it. There's a disconnect between what we know and what we believe. And oftentimes it's like we forget what God's word says. When challenges come, when trials come our way, when new seasons, when changes come, we forget what God's word says and we end up losing our footing. Remember, God's word is our footing. He set out a path for us to walk on. When new horizons come, challenges will for sure come with it. And when we forget what God's word says, we forget that God is faithful. We forget that he is in control. We forget that God is that he's with us through the trials, through the fire, that he is bigger and greater than our circumstances and whatever may come our way. That's when we lose our footing. The faith from God's word that we stand on, and that's when fear comes in. When we forget what God has revealed to us in his word about himself and who we are in him, That's when we've gone to the right and to the left of what his word says. God's word says to walk straight, but we end up going to the left. We get pulled to the right. And when we go to the right, fear comes and we're wondering why. It's because we got off track. We lost our footing. And then what ends up happening is that we try to place our footing on tangible things. We try to stand on things that maybe we rationalize things. And well, it's like, well, I've been like this for years, so I don't think I'm going to ever change. And well, my circumstances has always been like this, so I don't think, you know, that I'm ever going to meet that new horizon. I'm not prepared. I'm ill-equipped. I don't know what to do. Therefore, this is going to be impossible. We start to rationalize things, and they might be based on facts, and they might be based on truth. But here's the reality. Our faith doesn't function on reason. Our faith functions on revelation. Reason said that Sarah was too old to have a child. Reason said that the walls of Jericho were too big for it to fall. Reason said that David was just a boy and Goliath was just a man of war. Reason said that Jesus died and therefore is going to stay dead. But again, our faith doesn't function from reason. It functions through revelation. Revelation that God told Sarah that you are going to be with child. Revelation that God told Joshua that the walls of Jericho will fall down. Revelation that David could fight Goliath because the battle is the Lord's. Revelation that even though Christ died on the cross, that in 3 days he would rise because he is God. God's word is revelation that supersedes human reason. It gives us footing. We fight from the position of God's word. This is why God asked Joshua in verse 9, have I not commanded you? Have I not commanded you? Not just a matter of reason, but of revelation that it was God himself commanding Joshua to take the land. God who created the universe. God who delivered the Israelites from the land of Egypt. God who parted the Red Sea. God who provided throughout the wilderness. God who helped them conquer the nations in the wilderness. That same God was the one who was commanding him now and who promised that he would be the one to lead the people into the promised land and who would conquer the land of Canaan. That same God was commanding him. And that same God who says that he will never leave or forsake Joshua is the same God who says that he'll never leave or forsake you. That same God who parted the Red Sea. That same God who made blind men see. The same God who rose people from the dead. who made dry bones rise. That same God commands you. That same God is the one trying to strengthen and encourage you. The same God who says that he is making all things new. See, those are words from a faithful and true God, a God that's not lying to you. A God that we can place our footing on, a God that we can trust his word. Psalm 56, verse 3 to 4 says, "When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me?" Where are you placing your footing? Perhaps it's in the things that you have rationalized in your mind. Perhaps it's in the reasoning of the world. Whose word are you standing on? Or better yet, whose word do you listen to? If it's God, is it God's? Or is it your own? Maybe it's your friends. Maybe it's, you know, what your boss says. Maybe what television says. Whose word are you listening to? Because the voice that we listen to is ultimately what our lives echo. Listen to what God has to say. Take him at his word. As you walk into the new territories that God has for you, walk on his word. Use it as a lamp to your feet, a light to your path. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Stay on it. Listen to God's voice. Again, the voice that we listen to is ultimately what our lives echo. What did God say to Joshua? In verse 3 of our passage, he says, "Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses." Joshua was literally using the promises of God as his footing. He was using the promises of God as his footing. There's an old hymn that says, "Standing on the promises of Christ my King." Yes. I'm glad we know some hymns here. "Through eternal ages, let the praises ring." And then, you know, the chorus goes, "Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior." But verse 2 says this, "Standing on the promises, I cannot fall." Listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God. Where is your footing? Where are you standing on? Fight with footing. My last point. Number 3. Fight with friends. Fight with friends. If you want to learn how to conquer your fears in your life as you conquer the new horizons in your life, here's the third point. Fight with friends. Joshua chapter 1 verse 16 to 18 says this. "And they answered Joshua," this was the people that he was commanding now, the people of Israel, they answered him, "All that you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commandment and disobeys your words, whatever you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous." I love this because not only does God give strength and encouragement to Joshua by commanding him be strong and courageous, God also has the people of Israel say the exact same words to Joshua: be strong and courageous. We did an entire series on community, and so I won't belabor that point of the necessity of having community around you, but in case anyone has forgotten, you can't fight on your own. Fight with friends, fight with brothers and sisters in Christ who are willing to fight alongside with you, who are willing to suffer with you, who are willing to rejoice with you. Fight with friends. Fight with the family of God who is willing to go through challenges with you, who is willing to go through these new horizons with you. You can't fight alone. Fight with those who love you. And who has your best interests at heart. Who do you surround yourself with? That's the question I want to ask. Who do you surround yourself with? Is it people who build you up in the love of Christ, or people who tear you down with the love of the world? Who do you surround yourself with? Who are you walking into these new horizons with? People who grumble and complain, who always has a negative perspective, like the 10 spies that went with Joshua the first time to the promised land? Or do you have people who have the right perspective around you? The ones that will always bring you back to focus on God, that will always remind you of God's faithfulness. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33 says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals." Don't fight alone, but also don't fight with people who is going to corrupt you. Don't fight with people who doesn't care if you're alone or not. The people who don't care of whether or not you go into the new horizons or if you succeed or not. The people who are just out for themselves. Don't fight with those people. Like, don't fight against them and don't fight with them. It doesn't help. See, what adds to the fear of new horizons is when you do things on your own. Or you think that you are doing it on your own. Or that you have to do it on your own. Isolation is an easy path to destruction. And sometimes our situations can isolate us. But in reality, we isolate ourselves. We think that we can do it on our own, or that we need to do it on our own, or we think that no one cares about our situations or our circumstances, or no one is willing to help. But all those are definite lies from the enemy, because look around you right now, there are tons of people who are willing to help you through your struggles, through your sufferings, through the challenges that come your way. God's people, God's children ought to be that people, that group who is willing to bear one another's burdens. Isolation is an easy path to destruction, and oftentimes it's a result of our own flesh and our own failures, our own insecurities. Remember what happened with Adam and Eve after they fell. They hid themselves from God. They isolated themselves from His presence. And they even blamed one another. The first man and the first woman who was to resemble God's idea of marriage and love isolated themselves from each other by saying, "But it's her fault. She's the one who tempted me." Again, isolation is an easy path to destruction. We have to fight with our friends. We have to fight together in community. We can't do things on our own. I read this article a couple of months ago, I believe, and zoologists no longer believe, at least a majority of them, no longer believe in the idea of survival of the fittest, the idea that the strongest or the fastest, smartest animal is the one that survives out in the wilderness. No, they believe it's those who stay in packs, those who stay in herds, in communities, animals who depend on each other is the ones who survive. The pack survives, not the lone wolf, as one saying goes. Again, we're not animals, but God has created us for relationship, to bear one another's burdens, at the same time carry our own weight, to live in community. Don't fight alone. I can't stress it enough. God Himself had to reassure Joshua that He would never leave him or forsake him, for the sake of reinforcing the truth that Joshua would not be alone in this journey. And again, even the people came alongside Joshua, further reinforcing the idea that Joshua, again, would not be alone in the new horizons. God had to reassure Joshua this. And the people had to reassure him this. Because oftentimes, again, I think our natural inclination is to think that we are alone in what we do. But we're not. And I want to say this tonight. You know, if you think that you're alone, you're not. God is with you. You may keep your problems and your struggles to yourself, but you don't have to. Not only is God with you, but you have brothers and sisters in Christ here that are willing to help you. You know, I cannot thank Plus Life Family enough for the support and the prayers that you guys have given to me and my family as my family is going through the crisis of my mom and her cancer. You know, there is a part of me that I wanted to just bottle it all up to be, you know, like to you know, it's okay. I'm a leader at Plus Life, and I need to just be strong, and I need to just, you know, wade through this challenge and just face it. But I am thankful for every single person here who have come alongside of me and just has created this environment that says it's okay to be weak. It's okay to struggle, because we are going to be with you and support you along that road. This is the Plus Life family that we have here. And again, I can't thank you guys enough. And I know my family is very thankful and appreciative of the love that has been poured out on my family. But this is the family of Plus Life that you're involved with. And I'll say all of that to say that you are not alone. It doesn't matter if your crisis or your struggle is huge and giant, or if it's small and minute. There are people who are willing to walk with you, to pray with you, to go through the struggle with you. Fight with faith. Fight with footing. And fight with friends. I'm going to close with this, and I ask the worship team to come on up. God's command to Joshua to be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Again, it's the sentiment of being strengthened and encouraged. Those same sentiments is echoed by Christ in John chapter 16, verse 33. He says this, "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart. Take heart. Because I have overcome the world." Let's stand. That same command that God gave to Joshua to be strong and courageous, Christ himself echoes. And again, that command to be strong and courageous is not dependent on yourself. It's not dependent on the strength or the courage that you may have inside of you. No, because that will fail. But that strength and that encouragement comes from what comes after. It's conjunctional. It's dependent on the statement after. And so Christ echoes it. He says, "Take heart. I have overcome the world." So whatever circumstances you may be going through, whatever fears that you may be experiencing right now, whatever new horizons that God is taking you on, take heart, because Christ has already overcome it. Take heart, because the victory has already been won. Take heart, because whatever fears that you may have right now subsides in the presence of Christ. Take heart. It might be a struggle, but fight with faith. You might have to endure some suffering, but fight with good footing. Fight with standing on the promises of God. And even though your circumstances says that you're alone, don't feel alone. Fight with friends. Be strong and courageous. Church, I ask you, be strong and courageous. Not dependent on anything that you may have, but be strong and courageous, because your God is fighting for you. Your God will never leave or forsake you. And Christ has already come the world, overcome the world. And he's already overcome whatever it is that you're going to face. Whatever giants you may be facing, God is bigger. Whatever difficulties that you may be facing, God is able. Our capacity for courage is measured by our confidence in Christ. So I invite you at this moment, wherever you are, whatever trials you may be facing, whatever new horizons are ahead of you, I invite you to once again place your confidence in Christ. Pray against your unbelief. Pray for faith. Faith that God is willing to provide, is willing to pull you through, that He's already conquered. Pray that you would take Him at His word. Believe that He's already overcome. If you're a child of God tonight, you are called to be conquerors and co-heirs of Christ. Let's live it out. Let's be strong and courageous. Father God, here is your children. You know the circumstances that they are facing. And we ask for courage that only you can provide. We ask for strength that only your Spirit can give. So that whatever may come our way, we may be faithful to the task and not flee in terror. That we may stay and fight for your honor and glory, for your will and plan in our lives. God, muster up your Spirit in us that gives us the will, that gives us the strength, that gives us that courage. Muster it up in us, O God. Blow afresh on us, O Spirit of God. Fan the flames of our hearts in you. Give us the willingness to fight. In Jesus, your mighty name, we pray these things. Your name that makes all things able. Amen and amen.